Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Typically, we only see Advent as a time of celebrating our Lord's birth, a time to focus on our Lord's becoming man for our salvation. And certainly there is an aspect of this with the season of Advent. We are to give thanks for our Lord's birth. However, since the earliest times of the church, the season of Advent has been more a time of repentance or preparation for our Lord's final return. If then this is the case, that Advent is also a time when we should make sure we are prepared for our Lord's second coming, the question then must necessarily be asked, how do we prepare for our Lord's coming? With Thanksgiving having just finished and Christmas right around the corner, we all already know something about preparation. If we had guests for Thanksgiving, there was a meal that needed to be prepared. That takes a lot of time and effort. Even if we went to a friend or relative's house for Thanksgiving, it still required preparation. Perhaps we brought some side dish, or maybe we had to travel a long distance, so we had to prepare our overnight bags. We had to map out how we would travel, what roads we would take, how early we would need to leave, etc., etc. If we have children, there is no doubt even more preparation required. Preparation for Christmas seems to be pushed back earlier and earlier each year, starting now on Thanksgiving Day. We want to be prepared for these big days. We don't want to be caught unaware by them. Imagine then for a moment that you completely forgot about one of these holidays, that for whatever reason, you invited all your friends and family over and it completely slipped your mind. What would you do when your guests actually arrived? No doubt you would frantically try and scrape together some food. Perhaps you would try and run to the store to get some little gifts for the children. However, you would be out of luck since all stores are closed on these days. Imagine then the embarrassment and shame that you would feel. How upset you would be at yourself. Everyone staring at you with disappointment. In a very small sense, this is how all those will feel who fail to prepare for the coming of the Lord. Granted, this will be on a much, much greater scale. And that shame and disappointment that they will experience will never go away. Preparation then requires two things. First, it requires knowledge that that day is actually coming. And second, it requires the act of preparation itself. It's easy in our materialistic world to forget that all we see is temporary, that all of this will perish and we will not be able to take anything with us into the next life, just as we did not bring anything into this one. The world wants us to hoard and gather as much as we can, to chase after every pleasure, whether that be sex, pornography, food, or even happiness. Do whatever makes you happy, we are told. But we forget that these things that make us happy are themselves temporary. Therefore, that happiness that they give is also temporary. Satan uses these earthly possessions and pleasures to distract us, to make us forget that the day is coming. He wants us rather to focus so much on them that we begin to trust in them, and so disbelieve that the Lord will return again. How important, then, to be reminded of this fact often, that the Lord will indeed return again. Something that we are reminded of constantly by coming here, by praying, by studying God's word, by confessing our sins. Do not take this day's hesitation as a sign that it will never come. For God promised to Abraham to give him the promised land, yet Abraham never saw it. In fact, it took almost 500 years for the people of Israel to ever actually enter it. God also promised in the garden that the offspring of the woman would crush the serpent's head. And how long did it take until this found its fulfillment? thousands and thousands of years. The point being that this delay should not cause us to disbelieve its coming or cause us to shift our focus onto the possessions and pleasures of this life. For this day will indeed come. But again, knowledge of the day and its coming is not all that is important. With preparation necessarily comes the act of preparing. Taking our previous example, what good would it have done if we knew that our guests were coming, that we needed to provide a meal, get gifts, or whatever, but we neglected to go to the store to buy this food or these gifts? No doubt, the arrival of our guests would still bring shame and disappointment. In fact, we would look even more foolish than if we simply just forgot this day. So too, then, with our Lord's return, we are to make preparation, as St. Paul writes in our epistle reading, by putting off the works of darkness and clothing ourselves with the armor of light. And what, you might ask, are these works of darkness? St. Paul goes on to list them. Orgies, drunkenness, sexual immorality, sensuality, quarreling, and jealousy. In short, we might add anything that is contrary to the commandments of our God and Father. These we must strive with the help of the Lord to put off. Let us not then walk unwisely, but as St. Paul urges us, let us walk decently as in the day. For one who walks in the day is seen, and so makes sure that his actions are acceptable and pleasing. But those who walk in darkness think that they are not seen. And so, thinking that they are unknown to the Father, they revel in all sorts of evil. But all words and deeds will be brought to light on that last day. If then this is the case, beloved, why would we not come to the light now, when there is still time to make preparation for that final day? Why would we not come here to this place, not just one Sunday a month, but every Sunday? Why would we not take the opportunity to avail ourselves of private confession and absolution, offered here whenever needed? Why would we neglect to come to Bible study, that we may hear and meditate upon God's word, and so be prepared for that day? For if all these things that we see will one day perish, why would we not place as the greatest importance the things eternal, the things that will not perish? What better way could there be to prepare for our Lord's final return than being here as often as possible? Just as preparation for Thanksgiving and Christmas took time and was painful, so too preparation for our Lord's return takes time and is painful. Because it requires us to honestly look at ourselves, not according to our standards or according to the world's, but according to God's. But when we look at ourselves honestly and thus repent of our sins, Christ always comes with forgiveness. And in that forgiveness is a joy that is inexpressible, a joy that can have no end, since it is in Christ Jesus, who is himself true God and man, who has no beginning and no end, Christ Jesus, who paid the price for all sin. Examine yourselves, therefore, this Advent season, and do not hold on to these sins, but give them up to Jesus, that he might cast them into the depths of the sea, that he might remove them as far as the east is from the west. For God has prepared for our salvation in sending his only begotten Son to take on our human flesh as we celebrate this Advent season. And he continually makes sure that we are prepared for his second coming by coming to us each and every week in that same flesh and blood. A coming, or as the word means, Advent, which is not in wrath, but in forgiveness for those who fear his wrath and desire to be rid of their sin. And he does this so that on that last day, we might be found spotless and without blemish in his sight, having been cleansed by his very blood. And so to that end, may God grant us all diligence in making preparation for his final return this Advent season, so that we might enjoy his peace and so eternally sing with all the faithful, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.